They're not pirates.
Well, actually, we're here to investigate the following question. We spoke about the issue of bitul. Bitul meaning, if I had five jelly beans last week, and one of them was treif, and four of them were kosher. So we spoke about the idea that we learned that the halacha principle of acharei rabim lahatos, which means the halacha follows the majority. So therefore, if the halacha follows the majority, then, remember what we said, then you could choose each individual one. You look at each one and say, well, this one is the kosher, must be the kosher one. Well, this isn't the kosher one. This one. And how many could you eat?
All of them.
Well, eat, could not, one, not one
oh,
time.
Oh, right. That was
or,
that was
or different
argument.
People.
Yeah.
Or whatever you have, whatever you want to say, nonetheless, the halachic principle of bitul, of nullification, applies. Okay, so we spoke about, and then midi oraisa, something is batel barov. But I said to you last time that was only if it was a dry item. Remember we said dry and non-cooked. So now what happens if I cook an item? Can I apply bitul at this as well? Let's say I cook it. What if I would take those five things, but before I found out about them, four of them were kosher, one of them was not, and I cooked them all up in a soup. Would the soup be kosher or not? Now remember I said, if I nullify them, if I, individual ones, I could take each one on and then eventually eat all of them. Because they're all, but what if I cook them all together?
Don't you have a taste?
Should they be batel or not?
I would say not, because wouldn't it taste different?
It wouldn't it taste different? Excellent question. So that's what I wanted to ask you. In front of you are two soups, okay? So, okay? Please taste each one and tell me the difference between them. Yeah, so those of you at home, right, the tasters are tasting. They're identical except for one thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're identical except for one thing, and one thing only.
Pepper.
Nope. Tasters are tasting. I hope this is easy, but even if it's not, you should be able to taste it.
Peas.
Nope. They are two identical soups. I went to one stop and I bought, you know, those tubes. Okay? So they're identical except for one thing and one thing only.
This one tastes more spicy. No, I was
going to
say more like starchy.
Starchy. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Nobody can get it? Do they taste the same, Mark?
They don't taste the same.
Right.
But
you can't tell what it is? All right, stump the band. Okay. Well, anybody get it? I'm surprised nobody got it. Estelle, you can't get it? One of them has meat in it.
Really? Which one?
You tell me.
Well, you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see the little red pieces.
No.
The one sticker.
That's
no. First of all, you can see it because one of them had a lot, has some, you can see the darker one, right?
That's thicker.
How, what?
Thicker. A little bit thicker.
Well, thick is just a matter of luck. Can't you see the one that has sort of like fat in it?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this one's fatty.
Now,
yeah.
Now that you know, let me ask you.
I thought at first.
Now that you know, can you taste it? Can you taste the meat in it?
I thought it was just the spice.
You can't
no.
really taste it.
You can't?
No.
Oh, good. Fine. So let me ask you then. What if the meat was not kosher?
Never know.
What?
Yes, I couldn't taste it.
Would the soup be kosher?
How much meat is it?
Oh, okay, I'll show you.
I've got 10, 12 cups of soup, right? How much is in? Almost no meat, it's all actually bones.
Mm.
So the real question is, right? How many bones would I have to put in order to trape up the soup? Or could the bones trape up the soup at all?
I venture to say it's different with liquid than with dry.
Why would you say that?
Because the way you're teaching the class.
Well, you venture to say that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So you see, by the way, I put the bones in, and now I took them out. Okay? Smell good now, don't they? Now you couldn't taste them at all? You could see it. How could you not taste it? That's a good question. All right, enjoy your soup.
You've got better eyes than taste buds.
What can I tell you? I took the bones out. So the amount the bones weighed, by the way, when I put them in, was less than a pound. How much do they weigh now?
About a pound.
About a pound.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, great. I took the bones in. Now I pulled them out. So is my soup kosher? What if this was treif meat? Would my soup be kosher? Because whatever I put in, I pulled out. So the question is, can I say, just like I say batel berov, just like I say something is negated to the majority for dry foods, that's a halakha, a Torah law. Could something also be batel if it's wet, if it's liquid? So what do you say? The answer is?
Depend on the taste.
Depend on the taste. So what if the taste? Now, I have this soup now. Let's assume this was treif meat, which it's not, right?
Right.
The soup now, I took out the treif meat.
Yeah.
All that's left is the taste of the meat.
Right.
So, and what's the majority of it? Is the majority soup or is the majority taste?
Soup.
Soup. The vast majority is soup. So therefore, what should I say according to Torah law?
Not treif.
Not treif. Except?
It's not separate.
It is.
Right. It's not dry and it's not... Oh, and it's cooked.
Yeah, but remember, the laws of bittul don't always follow what you would consider to be logic. Remember, we learned last week.
We learned that last week.
Right, last week. And that's an important point, that the halacha doesn't follow it. And that's not that the halacha, God forbid, is illogical, but the halacha follows its own rule, that it's bittul, it's negated, because we go after the rope. So if you say I could follow the rope, if I can follow the majority, can I follow majority in this case as well? Why or why not?
Why have to be different?
What's that?
Why?
That's not why. Why would the percentage have to be different?
We have to do it because it's heated and the taste is there.
Who cares about taste? That's the question. So do we care about taste? If, by the way, let's say you couldn't taste it. Remember we talked about the hamburgers last week, the pieces of meat. Could you taste the treif meat? You absolutely could as soon as you ate it.
What?
But you said you
could you tell that the one piece was treif?
You couldn't tell.
No.
But at some point, were you tasting it?
Oh, tasting the meat.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the tasting of the meat isn't necessarily the issue.
But you're always assuming that you were eating the kosher piece of meat.
Ah.
Here you can't assume you're eating the kosher part of the soup.
Why?
Because it's all meat.
Ah, so where does this come from? Very good. So that's exactly correct. And we're going to learn that there's a rabbinic law, there's Dioraisa law. Dioraisa rove does apply. Okay? But the Rabbanan, but rabbinically, what happens, let's say, if I couldn't taste it? Like our soup, I thought you'd be able to. What happens if you couldn't taste it? What if you can't then recognize the taste? What happens if, let's say, for example, I already had meat in that soup, and I put in a piece of treif meat by accident.
You would know the difference.
What?
You probably would not know the difference.
I would not know the difference. So would I be able to taste the treifiness,
no.
The treifitude?
No.
No. So in that case, would it be kosher soup?
Really had.
No. I don't know. I had meat in here, meat marrow, right? And by accident, right, I put in, they sold whatever. Turns out the meat was treif, and I put in another piece of non-kosher meat, identical piece. So now I can't tell the difference. I can't. There's no difference in taste, right? Would that make it kosher? Would that make it treif?
The taste, we said, doesn't matter.
The taste doesn't make a difference. We're going to see. Okay. So first thing we have to know is there's a halachic principle called ta'am ki'ikar. This is a very important halachic principle. We learned batel berov. Today we're going to learn ta'am ki'ikar, and therefore batel b'shishim. Ta'am ki'ikar means now that this meat has been, the taste of the meat is infused into the soup, then the soup becomes like the meat. We're going to see it for certain purposes. What? Well, it depends. If there's time. Since there's taste, tam ki'ikar means the soup becomes like the meat. Okay? And therefore, like if it was treif, the soup would become treif. So now, let's ask another interesting question. What would then happen if the meat-tasting soup falls into her chant? Would I ask you?
And then how much?
Good. Great question. So, by the way, you know the halacha. So, how much meat...
No, I could tell you how much.
How much meat? Anybody know the halacha? We're going to learn it in a second. How much meat would I have to have in order, or how much soup would I have to have in order that if I took the meat out afterwards, nonetheless, the soup would still be kosher? Anybody know?
Good,
60. You've heard that term, shishim. We're going to see in a second. Shishim, 60. We'll see why in a few minutes. Good. So now let's say I didn't have the soup here. Let's say I have 10 cups of soup. How much is 10 cups of soup times this? 15 times maybe?
Yeah.
20 times. Let's say 20 times. The soup is 20 times the volume of this piece of meat. Okay? Wonderful. Good. So now the soup becomes, but now let's say I take, I don't know, 8 ounces of soup and pour it into her chalon. So now is that 8 ounces of meat or only the proportion of this meat that's in the soup? You understand the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do.
So these are things
because
that rabbis deal with.
If all the soup is treif, that's different from looking at it as just the meat portion of the
correct.
Soup is treif.
Absolutely correct. So this is what rabbis have to deal with when you call them and say, Rabbi! Okay. So that's why you have posting to answer these questions. Okay?
Right.
So let's go back and then we'll learn the basics of the halachas. Oh, you don't even have any sheets. I should probably pass them out. We'll go from there. We'll learn some of the principles. This is going to be a brief class because it's a special kololasan.
2 days.
It's 2 days. It's 1 and 2. Okay?
One.
That says the Mishnah, source number one. We learned this Mishnah. Oh, you want the second one?
We both need a page 3.
I haven't given any. Okay.
I have a page 3.
You have a page 3. Okay, here you go.
Okay. You should have 2 pages. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, 4 sides. Says the Mishnah. We learned this last time. Gid Hanasha. Okay, let's say you have the Gid Hanasha. Remember the hind, the sciatic, Gid Hanasha, the sciatic part, right? The sciatic part, shenishvasel ipan gidi, that was cooked with other gidi, with other sinews. Dizman shemakiro, if it is recognizable, benosein tam. Benosein tam means if it imparts flavor. Okay, see that line, benosein tam, those words, benosein tam? That's the question Chazal deal with. When something is cooked with something else, when our meat here was cooked in your soup, how was it, brother?
It's fabulous.
Real good.
Very good.
Well, it's my own personal recipe. Just pour the tube in and you're all set. Okay? When it's...
what a country.
Yeah. When it's cooked together, then you need what's called no same tongue. Does it impart taste into the food or not? If it imparts taste, then the concoction is treif, unedible. If it does not impart taste, then the concoction is kosher. 100% kosher. Okay? The imlav, okay? If you don't recognize it, kulan asurin, right? All the pieces are forbidden. Vaharoted the noshein tam. Okay? The sauce, now is the noshein tam, because remember, it's not just the sinews, but also the meat is also the no same time. The sauce is also, because this piece infused taste into all the other pieces. V'chein chatichah shel nevela, same is true of a non-kosher piece. V'chein chatichah shel dag, the same is true of a piece of fish, tamei. Let's say you took, I don't know, lobster. Shemik basla ima chatichah, that was cooked with the other pieces of fish, that's unrecognizable. V'shman shemakilan, if they're recognizable, the no same time. Right, then you pull it out and you ask, was it able to impart taste? Being love, and if not, if it's not recognizable, kulan asur, they're all becoming mixed together, they're all forbidden. And the sauce is benotein tam. Did it impart taste or not? So where does this idea of taste come from? So it all comes, interestingly enough, from a number of different possible sources in Jewish law, but one of them is from the Nazir. Nazir, what does Nazir have to do with keeping kosher? So, excellent question. What is a Nazir not allowed to eat? No, a Nazir can eat meat? Oh, God, nobody would ever be a Nazir if you couldn't eat meat. What?
Wine.
Says the Torah, V'Daber Hashem Talmo Shalemor. Source number 2. Daber El B'nai Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, V'Amar Te'alehem, and say to them, Ish O Isha, man or woman, Ki Yafli V'Indor Nazir Nazir Lazir L'Hashem. It's not just a male Nazirite, it's male or female. You want to be a Nazir? Miyayin v'seichar yazir, you can't drink wine or booze. V'chomet yayin, v'chomet seichar lo yisteh, nor can he drink vinegar from wine or vinegar from booze. V'chomishrat anavim lo yisteh, nor shall he drink any liquor of grapes. V'anavim lachim yiveshim lo yachal, nor can he eat grapes or raisins. Okay? What is the word we want to focus on is, what are mishrat anavim? What is liquor of grapes? Mishrat anavim. So look at Rashi. What is mishrat? What is something that's sharuri? So Rashi says, how do you get liquor of grapes?
Is that wine?
No. Wine is when you squeeze the grapes. What's liquor of grapes? What's brandy?
It's like you distill the wine. It's the cognac, I think, is the same.
I don't know. So let's see what it said. That's booze, though.
Yeah.
That's booze. So what's liquor of grapes? So look at Rashi. So that translation, by the way, I'm not so thrilled about the translation because it's a little bit difficult to understand what Mishrat Anavim is. Okay? So Rashi says, "V'chol mishrat lashon tzvi'a b'mayim." That means tzvi'a b'mayim means dyeing it in water. Oh, b'chol maskeh. You took the grapes and you soaked them in water. But v'lasha mishnah yesh harbim. In the mishnah, it's a lot. So basically, you took grapes after you squeezed out the wine, you soaked it in water. What happened in the water?
Changed color.
Changed taste. And underwent some kind of change. So you ask yourself, what about pickle? So you soak the grapes in water. Whoop-de-doo. But I've got 5 parts water to 1 part grape. And you told me that Torah law me follows the majority, right? So who in the world needs, why can't the guy drink, grape-flavored Kool-Aid? Or, real grape flavor, naturally flavored grape Kool-Aid. Why not? It's batel barov, it's nullified by the majority. Okay, you want to tell me, maybe that's only rabbinically enjoined? No, because here the Torah itself is saying, Mishrat Anavim, you soak your grapes in water, and what do you get? You get a prohibited mixture. So why is it prohibited? Mishrat Anavim. So the answer is, it must be something more than just the majority. Not even if it doesn't ferment. But you take your water, you soak it in, you take your grapes, you soak them in water. You get this mushy, kind of purpley stuff. That's what you'll get. Tastes a little bit like grape. How much water is it? 90% water. Says the Torah, he just violated his Nazaritude, and he violated a Torah law. Why? Why don't we follow, remember what we said last week, follow the majority. Acharei Rabbim Lahatos. So that's the question the Gemara has. On page 2, please, says the Gemara. The Gemara says the following, okay? L'chedetanya, as we learn, this is a Gemara from Nazir 37a. See that word Mishrat? The Gemara also noticed the word Mishrat. The word Mishrat doesn't mean like a liquor, it means a soaking. The soaking of the grapes. L'chein tam ki'ikar. See that word, tam ki'ikar? That's a very important rule in Gemara terminology, in halakh terminology. Tam ki'ikar. It tells you that the taste is like the actual item itself. That if you can taste it, that means it's still there. Si'im sara anavim b'mayim. That if you soaked grapes in water, the yesh bahem ta'am yayin, and they have the taste of wine, chayav. The nazir is chayav. He has violated his nazirut, chayav. And from this, atadam kol isurim shebatorah. It's not just a rule about the nazir. What's it a rule for? Soup. Tam ki'ikar. Umar says, Uma nazir shein isuro isur olam. Why? Because nazir, he says, if I think about it, is really more of a minor violation, a minor transgression. Why? Because just like in Nazir, and Nazir is a prohibition, it's not forever. Why is another's prohibition not forever? Why is another's prohibition from drinking wine not eternal? Not forever. How long does a Nazir last for? Right, you say 30 days. That's why, because it ends. It's a temporary condition. Okay? The Ein Isur Isur Hana. And also, is the Nazir allowed to benefit from grapes? Yes. It's not prohibited from the benefit. The yesh heter the isuro, and there's also a way for him to become permissible to drink wine. Asa bo tam ki ikar. In that case, the Torah said tam, the taste ki ikar, is like the essence of the thing. Klai hakerem. So klai hakerem is another prohibition. Klai hakerem means, let's say I took grapes, and I planted them in proximity to apples, right next to each other. So those are called klayim. And produce from those trees are totally prohibited. They're usher. It's like chutneys of trees, and chutneys of vineyards. Okay. She isur al isur olam, that their prohibition is eternal. The isur al isur hanaya, and you can't benefit. Ve'in hanal isuran Eino din shi'aset tam ki'ikar? How much more so should we apply the principle of tam ki'ikar? So you see that idea? So this is a very important principle in Jewish law. Tam ki'ikar. That once there's a case, so just like you have in these soups, one of them is karev, and one of them is flasic. I took the meat out. So if I took the meat out, by the way, what happened? How did the taste get infused? Yeah, I need a chemist. I do. What? Oh, Harriet. Yeah. How do you, what happened?
Something with the chemicals and the heat.
Right, the heat. So what's in here now? Meaning what happened is the heat, as the pot was boiling, right, the soup went and transferred into what was in the soup, in the water, transferred into here, and what was in here transferred into the soup. It became the heat caused some kind of chemical reaction. You have to ask the scientist, right? And transferred the taste throughout the entire soup. It diffused the taste throughout the entire piece of soup, throughout the entire soup. And therefore, now that you can, by the way, just because you guys couldn't taste it doesn't mean it's not tasteable. Okay, if you'd ask somebody who's a little more sensitive, he'd be able to taste it. And therefore, as long as the taste is present, so now the soup becomes meat soup because of tam ki'ikar. So now if you want to understand it, the best way to understand it is the chinuch. The chinuch has a small essay in this halacha of Nazir on tam ki'ikar. You can read it in English. Rather, you can read it in English if you want. I'll read it in English for you. The definitive law follows the sages who differ with him, that's Rabbi Akiva, and interpret this verse there, and likewise in the tractate Sachin, to infer from it that the flavor of the forbidden food is as prohibited as the food itself, both in regard to a nazir and with all other forbidden food in the Torah. Okay, so if the taste is actually there, then it's prohibited. So was it stated there. What is this verse? Any mishra, any liquid of grapes, then given for this purpose? It is needed for the purpose out in the brayta. By the way, this is a direct quote that I just read for you. Any mishra, this is to make the flavor as forbidden as the original fruit. That if one steeps grapes in water that has a flavor of wine, it is prohibited. From here you have the law for all forbidden and few foods in the Torah. So if a nazir, blah, 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 et cetera, right, that we just learned. If it's asr for nazir, then it's asr for everyone else as well. Skip to the next paragraph. As to the meaning of the flavor forbidden as the original, tam ki'ikar, right? The flavor is forbidden as the original. Many explanations were said about it. One of them, and it is the best as it seems, is that any forbidden food that does not exist in its original state, but became merged or blended with permissible food, imparting its flavor to it, to exclude a case where it became blended with its own kind of food that was permissible, where there was no imparting of flavor. About this, the sages of blessed memory ruled that the flavor of forbidden food is as prohibited as the actual food. So here we have a soup. I've got meat, non-kosher meat, we'll just say, right? And it has the taste of the soup as the taste of the meat. Then the soup is as treif as the meat. You can't just say, oh, well, it's just soup. What could be wrong with soup? You know, isn't it? And we'll see in a second. And so this passage about any mishra of grapes is needed. For if we did not, this is a very important point, if we did not derive this rule from this verse, I would have decided that whatever forbidden matter became blended into permissible food, whether it was of his own kind or of a different kind, it should become nullified by a majority. Batel Barov. I would have thought, just like Bittel Barov, remember last week worked, so too it should work this week too. What's the difference if it's soup or five pieces of hamburgers? By the rule known to us from the law of the Torah, that one forbidden amount in two permissible ones is nullified by a majority. Because two is not meant strictly, right? Now that we know this, it is for us to rule about flavor as if it were the actual food. And what is the law known to us about the actual forbidden food without anything mixed? That if a person ate an olive's amount of forbidden food without a lapse of time, from the start to the end of the evening, long enough to eat a pras, a half a loaf of bread, he's given lashes. If you ate a piece of treif meat, right, they would take you to basin and they would say, Mr. Lippman, it's nice to see you. Have a seat. Right? They would whip you. What if you ate a kazayas of soup? See, I said it, I'm based in, I'm sorry. I didn't eat a kazayas of meat. I only ate a kazayas of soup. And in that kazayas of soup, there's only a proportional amount of meat to taste. You know what they would say? Wrong, because tam ki'ikar. Sorry, my friend, tam ki'ikar. That's a law de'oraita. It's a Torah law. and therefore you are violating the Torah. Have a seat. It's going to be a painful day for you. That is how he explains, and I thought the Chinuch explains it. I thought it so beautifully. He says, "Really, you would have thought that Bittul Berov applies. So this comes to teach you, Bittul Berov does not apply, and rather we institute the rule of Tam Keiker, and the food becomes like the non-kosher food." Okay, so turn back to page one for a second. You have your chart. Mida Oraita, Torah law. Okay, I got an extra pen. Is this yours?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. Okay, food tastes the same, and the food is solid. If you have foods that taste the same, and the foods are solid, by the way, you can write food is solid and dry. Okay? And dry. How would I fill in that chart? Dry, solid food in the same tastes. It gets, one dry, solid food gets mixed into food of the same taste. Of the same dry solid food.
It's all kosher.
Batel. It's batel. What's the principle? When you say batel, in how much? In how much?
Barov.
Majority. Batel barov. Very good. Majority. Okay? Majority. Batel barov. Good. Now we're going to skip, by the way, we're going to skip to the bottom right hand in that left hand chart. The bottom right hand corner, the one that's white. Okay? What is the Oraita principle if the food is liquid and it's different tastes? Like our souk. Okay? What's the halakha principle we just learned?
Tam.
Taste. Tam keiker. Good. So it's not batel unless if you can taste it. Excellent. Tam keiker. And by the way, to get rid of tam keiker, how much do you need to negate it? Took a wild guess. 60. Right. Batel b'shisha. Okay? So you need 60 times. That's what the Gemara says. See the bottom right hand.
You said it's not batel unless you can taste it?
It's not batel if you can taste it. So in order to get rid of the taste, shishim, 60. That's what the Gemara says. Anything less than 60 times the amount. Hold on, wait, don't move to the right hand yet.
Okay.
Because this is Torah law. Okay? This is the Torah law. We're under the Oraita Torah law. Now, next case. What happens, though, remember, so I know that from the Torah law, I know Batel Barov, and I know Tam Keiker. Those I know. What happens if the foods are solid and dry, and they taste different? The dry, solid foods are mixed, but they taste different. Somehow, I don't know, jelly beans have a different color.
Yeah.
Right, that was a good example.
Color, no, but it would taste different.
The jelly beans,
what
right.
The red, what if you have two?
I don't know. I know one of them is not kosher, but I don't know which one.
Right.
But they taste different. The jelly beans are not such a great example, but let's say different pieces of meat, they all have different tastes. But they're dry. They're not mixed together.
So if you, obviously you could taste the difference.
Then. You can. They're not mixed together yet.
But you just said here.
No. They taste different. If you could taste them, they're different. Okay? What would the halacha be? Midi Oraita, Torah law. Which would you approve? Which would you apply? Ta'am ke'ikr, or would you apply Batel Barov? What would you say, Attorney Lichtman? We're going back to your, to your law school days.
Oh,
the professor ever put you on?
Could I be asleep right now?
Did the professor ever put you on put you on the spot?
Yeah.
Lichtman!
Yeah. I would go with majority.
Right, absolutely. Very good. Majority rules. Okay, you follow the majority. But, Ralph, what about the bottom left-hand corner? Bottom left-hand corner. Food is liquid and the food tastes the same. Again, now can you apply Tom Kinker? No, right, because now I'm putting meat into meat. It's all like, and I got kosher meat in the chon and the trach meat. So it should be bought till the row. Very good. Okay? Now, let's go to the right-hand side. But what's the rabbinical law? Meaning sometimes the Rabbanon, you'll see those arrows? Sometimes the Rabbanon, they said, okay, good, that's the Torah law, but we're going to be machmir, we're going to be makir. Usually they're machmir. Right? We know the Rabbanon, they add on, why do they add on stringencies?
It's human nature being what it
is. Excellent. Good. In the top left-hand corner, they did not add on any stringencies. Remember we learned that last week. Even the Rabbanon, if the food is solid and dry, and it's the same taste, remember we said, batel barov, majority rules. Okay? And this is, by the way, the norm of halacha. And also, they're not going to be more machmir in the bottom right, because it's batel b'shishim. Right? You need shishim in the bottom right, so that's fine. Tam ki'ikar. Right? So that they apply, and it's batel only b'shishim. Bitul b'shishim. But here's the thing. In the two other corners, in the top right, where you see the arrows are, the rabbis were afraid anything that's one step away from tam ki ikar, the rabbis were afraid if we're one step away, you're going to confuse it with the right, the problem of taste. Meaning, so let's take the bottom one first. Food is liquid, bottom left hand, and they taste the same. If I'm allowed, let's say you, Estella, you call me up and you say, Rabbi, I got a challenge. And they actually, it's got meat in it, and I actually put a piece of trafe meat in there. And I say, oh, Estelle, not so a problem, because lucky you, were they the same tastes? Yes, they were. Wonderful. It's all kosher. Take one piece of meat out, because remember, we don't know which one it is, it's all kosher. So what would happen the next time Estelle had a question, and she hadn't put meat in it? She just put one piece of meat in the soup. She would say, well, the last time I called the rabbi, he allowed me, even though I put the meat in, to eat the soup. So this time, he'll probably also allow me to eat the soup. And this doesn't call me. And she didn't know that then it was a problem of, there was no problem of tam, of taste. And this time there is a problem of tam. So the rabbi said, oh, that case is one step away. One step away from the oraita. So since it's one step away from the oraita, we're going to make you, require you to have shishim. Batel b'shishim. You understand what I'm saying? No, not really. You want me to say it again?
Yeah.
Good.
All in English.
Okay. You have the bottom case is, let's say, example of, you have a challah with meat in it, and you added one piece of meat that wasn't kosher. Okay? So you call me up. That's a case where the foods taste the same, right? Because you've got
liquid and food taste the same.
Correct. So now, did your trace piece of meat change the taste of the, change,
no.
Add to the change of taste?
No.
So can I say tam kikar in that case? No, so the oraita really, it should be batel barov, it should be okay. The oraita, it's okay. But the rabbanan said, we're afraid. Because if I allow you to eat the food in that case, then in a case where there isn't, where there are different tastes, you had chicken in the chalent, and you added a piece of treif meat, you would say, well, since I'm allowed to do one, I'm going to be allowed to do another. And not know that, no, that the tam is usher, that the taste imparted is the problem. And therefore, the rabbi said, any time the foods are liquid, we require you to have 60. Okay? So you understand? See the arrow?
Can I explain the 60, please?
60, because you have to be able to 60. If there are 60 times kosher as a treif, then you can't taste the treif. Okay? So, in this case, you put your piece of meat in there, right? Your piece of treif meat. So if it was a very small piece, and I say, well, how big is the chalent? You say, oh, it's huge. How big was the piece? It was tiny. It was like a jelly bean size. Oh, there's 60 times. You probably have to remove a piece of the meat if unless it melted in. Sometimes there's no way to know. And the whole thing would be kosher. Batel b'shishim, because it's not tasteable anymore. But as long as
it... You can make it 60 times more?
No. Not l'chachila.
Oh.
If it happened that way. Okay? So food is liquid on the right-hand side. The rabbanim, the rabbinic law is you require 60 times. Batel b'shishim. Okay? And what about dry food? Food tastes different? So we are afraid that if we allowed you to follow the majority in that case, what would be if you cooked it? See the top right hand, the top right corner? What would happen if you cooked it? In the top right hand corner.
Here.
No, over there on the other side. Yeah, what would happen if you cooked that? You have food with different tastes that's dry and solid. Okay, remember my hamburgers last week?
Yeah.
So, well, one of them tasted differently. Or they all tasted differently. So if I cooked them together, would the treif one impart taste onto the kosher ones?
Not with hamburgers.
If I cooked them together, what if I put them all in a stew?
Oh, all right.
It doesn't matter, whatever. It certainly would. So therefore, I'm one step away from infusing taste. Anytime you're one step away, they're always said, one step away, step away. Right? So again, you would require 60. Shishim, you would require 60, nullified with 60. Bito with shishim. So you see, what I wanted to show you, see how they're shaded? Okay? In the first, we do a right to the Torah law, you almost always follow the majority, bitul barov. But when it comes down to practice, the only time you follow the majority is if solid food, dry food, and it tastes the same. Whereas any time you cook it, it's always bitul b'shishim, you always require 60 times the amount of treif to be kosher. And also, even if it's not cooked, if the foods are of different tastes, you would also require 60 tons.
So when food is liquid and the tastes are different, that's when you need 60 to 1.
When the food is...
When the food is liquid...
Yeah, the tastes are different. Need to oraita, Torah.
Yeah, 60 to 1.
Correct. But in the Drabanan, I mean that the right chart is a practical halacha. Okay? So basically, you almost always need 60 to 1, unless what? Unless, yeah, foods are the same, and it's dry and solid.
So food is liquid, and it tastes different, yes, according to the Rabbinic law.
Yeah. Without a doubt, you need 60. Like our soup. Right, without a doubt, you need 60 in order to nullify the taste. You don't nullify the taste. What do you have? Treif soup. Okay, because of this principle of tam keikar. Since you have that taste, it's no good. And we're gonna these are other principles. We learned bittul berov. We learned tam keikar. Now we're also gonna see bittul b'shishin. Turn to page 3, please. And I'm keeping you guys away from your seder. I bet you're right. I bet a bunch of people forgot about the earlier time. It's a little confusing, you know what I'm saying? But we try to accommodate all different types of groups. Okay, look at the Shulchan Aruch. I just want to show you the Shulchan Aruch on the top of page 3. He says, remember we talked about last week, this is a continuation from last week, talked about Bittul Berov, the negating in majority. He says, V'chol zeh k'nish'ar mit'arei b'nino. This is only applies when the food is mixed b'nino in its same taste. Aval shelo b'mino, but if it's in another, not in its own taste, if it ain't makiro and you don't recognize it, afilu yavesh b'yavesh, even if it's dry, tzarech shishim. That's the case. If you look on your chart again, that's food is solid and dry but tastes different, requires 60. Right? It's on your chart. By the way, I don't know about you, I'm a very visual learner. So when I do, charts work very well for me, because now you see it in front of you and you're able to, you know, as opposed to in the Shulchan Aruch, you're reading in the words, what did it say? I don't remember, I don't know. Okay? He says, and there's no difference if it's the Rabbanon or the Oraita. So look at the Sifrei Kohen. Sifrei Kohen is a commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach is called. You ever heard of that? The Shach? Right? He says, Shach just stands for Shimchav, Sifrei Kohen. He says, Tzarech Shishim, we need 60, why? Because if you cook it, on the top of page 3, if you cook it, then it will lose taste. So remember, the rabbinic law is, any time you're one step away from Torah prohibition, they made offense. So since you're one step away from Torah prohibition, they made offense and said you require 60 times in a game. All right, just to wrap it up, I'll read just the Rabbi Forrest's. This is just a nice introduction. But again, without studying it before, it's gobbledygook. And now that we've studied it, hopefully this will make sense to you. A central issue in Hilchos Kashrus concerns the infusion and absorption of taste. Wherever non-kosher food comes in contact with kosher food, there is a potential transfer of taste from the non-kosher food to the kosher food. In this chapter, we will discuss the concept of ta'am ki'ikar, the principle by which kosher food is affected by the non-kosher taste it has absorbed. We will also explore the possibility of sampling of food to detect the presence of non-kosher taste. Now, I mean, we're not going to discuss this, but it's a very interesting question. So Mark Whitman takes his food to work, and he accidentally realizes, oh no, I accidentally cooked my soup with a piece of non-kosher meat. But Marcus generally, he's totally unsure, did he put 60 times the amount of soup to meat or not? Is there taste or not? So the question is, can Mark go ahead and say to his non-Jewish secretary, right, hey, Catherine, do me a favor. Taste this soup. Taste any meat in it? Can you do that? That's a very interesting halakhic question. Because if the whole point is to know whether there's taste in there or not, why not?
None of us taste soup meat.
Right. So it turns out, we're not going to do this circuit because it's not relevant for us. This never comes up for us. But it turns out it's actually a huge machlokas between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. Sephardim generally are allowed to rely on the taste of a non-Jew. Right? Now, by the way, if you tell the non-Jew, I want to know, do you taste anything non-kosher in it? So he's obviously going to, it doesn't work. Because once he knows you're looking for something, you know, then everything's gone. So you say to him, you have to find a way of asking him what is called Mashiach HaPitumah, where he's going to give you an honest answer. Others say, even the taste that we're talking about is a subtle taste. It's a good thing that we gave you the soup in the beginning. Right? Even people, normal people, you couldn't taste the meat in here, and everyone would agree that there isn't shishin for the soup. Everyone would agree that it's not batel the shishin. So we see that not everybody can taste everything. Now, what happens if I would take it to Matt Prentice and ask him to taste it? He probably would spit the soup out anyway because it's full of chemicals, it tastes terrible. But aside from that, he would say, well, is he going to eat enough? I hope he would, otherwise what's he doing? You know what I'm saying? If you ask the chef of a restaurant, you say, taste this, what do you taste? So someone who's trained to taste things has the ability to sense things that a normal person does not. So do you require it of a chef or not? So bottom line is, most Jews in their homes do not have non-Jewish chefs to taste things. So you're back to...
Are you allowed to taste it?
Oh no, God no, because what if it was treif?
Okay.
What if the taste was there?
Well, then you don't know.
Tell me, do you taste the pork?
So then you
actually do. Okay, then what?
Then you have to throw it away.
What?
Then you have to throw it away.
And you just ate treif. Whoops.
No, I'm saying, since you are not allowed to taste it, as you just said.
Right, so what's the only way? What's the only way to know?
That's
great. Shishin.
Oh.
Measurement. Because the rabbis made an estimation that 60 times the volume of the treif to kosher, right, kosher to treif, that would constitute bittul, that would negate the taste.
But your original question to him was that he didn't know if he added 60 to 1.
Or he's not sure, right? Or it's less than that. What if it's less than that? So now, what if it was more than 60? It was less than 60. I'm sorry. What if it was like 100 to 1, but you could still taste it? What do you say? Would that be kosher or non-kosher? It was 100 to 1 soup to bacon, but you could still taste the bacon.
According to what you just said, it would be kosher.
Correct. Remember, Tom, as long as the taste is there.
Oh, right.
The 60 is only, right, the 60 is only an estimation, right? So normally, when there's 60 times, you really can't taste it anymore. It's totally bottled. Okay, at the core of the issue, let's just finish this, second paragraph. At the core of the issue of taste and fusion is the principle of ta'am ki'ikar. Now, you recognize that paragraph, that phrase? Which means that the taste of the non-kosher food is considered as its essence. Kosher food imbued with a noticeable taste of non-kosher food is they considered the equivalent of the non-kosher food itself. And we're going to learn this, by the way. When does this really come into play? What happens if I took a spoon, stuck it in my, milchik hot cereal, okay? So the spoon becomes infused with milk. And then I take that spoon and I put it in my, cholent. Okay? How much taste of milk is then infused in my cholent?
Didn't wash it off,
didn't clean it, didn't... We're gonna see, all of these things become important issues.
Right.
You understand? I'm giving you building blocks, and these building blocks will build one upon the other, and when you have these building blocks, then you're able to say, oh, I know that term, then I can understand why the law is the way it is.
I know we'll get to it, but I'm going to guess that the cholent is kosher, and the spoon is treif. But
okay,
we'll get to it in a few weeks.
Okay, good. Kosher food, and by the way, now, and once you understand the principles, it makes a lot of sense. It's not, there's no magical, mystical, you have to understand the principles, you have to understand what ramifications there are, how to apply them, which takes practice and experience. It's only a basic class. Once you know them, you understand how to apply the principles, and it's something you can understand. So he says, kosher food imbued with a notable taste of non-kosher food is considered the equivalent of the non-kosher food itself. One may not eat kosher food that has absorbed the non-kosher taste, since in doing so, he will taste the non-kosher taste. We note in the chapter here the non-kosher taste may affect kosher food under several different circumstances. A, the non-kosher matter may have completely blended into the mixture. The non-kosher matter may have been cooked together with the kosher food and infused the kosher food with his taste before having been removed. Exhibit A. Okay? The kosher food may have been cooked in a utensil that was infused with non-kosher taste and thereby absorbed some of the taste infused in the utensil. I cooked my phlegic soup in my milchik pot. Happens all the time. Okay? In any of these cases, the principle of tam ki ikar rules that the kosher food has assumed a non-kosher status. Okay. And we'll stop here. So that's why we have the principle of, so we learned the principle of bit of the rove last week. Today we introduce the principle of ta'am, of taste, ta'am ki'ikar. Okay, that if the taste is present, then the prohibited, the food becomes entirely prohibited. And based on that principle, we then also concluded that in order to remove taste, in order to nullify taste, you require what? 60 times the permissible food of the non-permissible food, which is called shishin, in order to have not bitul b'rov, negation with majority, but bitul b'shishin, negation with 60 times. And if you have bitul b'shishin, that would render the non-kosher food once again kosher. To be continued.